Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, and today we'll be talking about the new Indiana Jones movie, plus other favorite film action heroes. Nikki Starr, my excellent producer, should be here soon to help with the show. And in the meantime, our friend Demos will be handling things in the chat until Nikki arrives. And one of our most popular guests, Mad Movie Man A.J. Hockery, is with us now. A.J. writes film reviews for Real Talk Reviews, Classic Movie Guide, Passport Cinema, and the Student Voice newspaper at the University of Wisconsin, River Falls, where he also hosts a movie-related radio talk show during the school year. Welcome back to Movie Addict Headquarters, AJ.
Thanks for having me back. It's good to be here, especially since you tried to get me on in the past couple weeks, but there's been various conspiratorial forces that have kept me from coming on.
Well, like Indiana Jones, you just should have used your bullwhip to take care of those conspiratorial forces.
I don't know. I don't think a whip would work good on strep throat. I think I'd make it worse, kind of.
No, I think you're right, and we're just so happy that you're feeling better and that you're able to be on the show with us today. It's always so much fun to have you here. Have you seen all the four Indiana Jones films, AJ?
Yes, I have.
All right, that's great. You know, I saw the first three when they were released theatrically, and then I watched them again on TV. In fact, you couldn't miss the Indiana Jones movies, I think, on TV. A few days before seeing Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and I'm curious to know, how do you think the plot of this new indie film compares with the previous movies?
Well, it's a little bit different. It's a little bit more, well, all of them have, in some respect, have been steeped in the supernatural. Because, you know, you got the first one and the third one sort of dealt with the Nazis and who were, like, trying to search for occult-related items. And then in the second one, you had that mystical cult that was, like, all about mind control. And this sort of continues in that vein, but for me, just there wasn't enough to sort of sustain the running time almost, or a better way of saying is that it just wasn't as, the mythology was not as interesting or as well built up as the others. I just wasn't hooked as much as I was with the other three movies.
Well, that's interesting. You know, I just was so excited to see this film. I mentioned before I was like a two-year-old with a new toy, and so I may have had a little bit of prejudice going into the movie because I wanted to like it so much, and it really did not disappoint me. And the plot, I kind of agree with you about the plot. It wasn't as fully developed as in the other Indiana Jones movies. But don't you think that the plot usually takes a back seat to fast-paced action and amazing set pieces in these films? I think we just simply want to be thrilled while watching Indy escape harrowing chases and fight his way out of desperate situations, much more than we care about the plot, at least. That's my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's just no, as good as the first movie is, And as interesting as the story was, they're just nothing compared to that iconic image of that big boulder coming down after any, just him running to get out of the way. There's just more thrill in that single scene than there is in pretty much the whole story. But I do have to say that, you know, the plot, it does take a backseat to the action, but it, in the better one movies, it helps enhance the action because Indy's exploring all of these, like, fields of, like, of Christian imagery and all that stuff, and you're just sort of interested, and you're going along with him, and you're sort of with him as he's trying to escape from these situations. But for me, the chief complaint I have with Crystal Skull is that I pretty much had the thing figured out from the beginning, and it just did not hook me as much. And although Indy got into those, like, big action-packed scrapes and escapes and situations, it was just kind of got tiring for me.
Agreeing with you is our colleague Diana Sanger in terms of the length of the movie. She was not that enamored of the, you know, of how long the movie did run. And our other colleague Jeffrey Chan, that didn't seem to matter to him. I thought it was interesting when he said that these movies are immune to any kind of reviews. He started out his review by saying, do we really need to review an Indiana Jones movie? Because no matter what, there's so many fans that will like him. But our other colleague, John McCarthy, didn't really like this movie at all. In fact, I wrote down one of his statements from the movie because I thought, what a quote this is. He called it jokey and hokey, mired in nostalgia and strewn with Spielbergian and Lucasian theories, as fake as the cobwebs used in the soundstagey set. How about that?
That's a little mean. That's harsh.
That is harsh, isn't it? So he was not very happy at all with that, with the film. But I was. I from the beginning, with that opening sequence to the clever ending, I was just so very, very happy that Steven Spielberg decided to make another Indiana Jones movie. What did you enjoy most about The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull? You said that you didn't like it as much as the other movies, but were there things in it that you did enjoy?
Oh, certainly. Like you said, that first action sequence set in the big warehouse, that was just a big throwback to the awesome action sequences that have become a trademark of the series. It had some humorous touches. It wasn't completely stone-faced or cliched. They had a little fun with it and had stuff blowing up and a lot of funny little touches here and there. I really liked that. But what I really liked most about the movie was probably Cate Blanchett, who's my favorite actress.
Oh,
just
she's
giving this
too.
Great performance, sort of like not over the top, but definitely someone described it as like a Boris and Natasha type performance, and she really just took the role and had fun with it, just this evil look to it, and I just really like what she did with the role.
I agree with you on that, and in that opening, I just loved that opening sequence where they the Russians were chasing Indy around in that in our government's warehouse of secrets. And now, he may be 64 years old now, but he sure can jump around.
Oh, absolutely. He's as versatile as ever.
And you mentioned Cate Blanchett. My other favorite scene had to do with Shia LaBeouf and Cate Blanchett. They are doing their swashbuckling sword fight while they're standing up.
That was an awesome scene. Yeah, I love that bit.
Two different vehicles while going full speed ahead through the jungle. And then Shia LaBeouf's Tarzan-like encounter with a group of monkeys. I thought that was amazing. So
I just about left the theater at that point. It's like, even for Indiana Jones, this is far-fetched. I'm out of here.
You did. I just loved it. I I think that I do have a halo around Indiana Jones, so I'm not really that objective about it. But you know what, Adam, AJ, I think we have a caller. Let's take a chance here and see if I can connect this caller. Hello, area code 607. Thanks so much for holding. You've reached Movie Attic headquarters with the Mad Movie Man and Betty Jo Tucker. How are you?
Hi, Betty Jo. It's Jazz. How are you today?
Oh, Jazz. Just fine. How are you?
Great. Thanks.
Good. Well, thank you for calling in. Did you get a chance to see Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull?
I did.
What did you think?
I'm afraid my opinion was a little bit different than the two of you, and I wanted to ask you about that specifically, because I think if you're a big fan of the series, as I was, I mean, I owned them all on DVD because I was a huge fan of the original series, but one of the best reviews I saw, and I found myself nodding my head in agreement, was one of the movie reviewers on G4 TV who mentioned the fact, and it really struck home, that the special effects and whatnot, I think we've gotten spoiled since the era when the original films were made until now, and they made this film very much the same way, and it just looks like a film that was shot on a lot, on a back lot in Hollywood, when we've gotten used to either on location or these huge CGI extravaganzas that make things, you know, so real looking, even though you know they're fake, you know, like the Lord of the Rings trilogy and things like that, and it really was a flashback to the 80s, and it made it, for me, feel a little bit on the cheap side. And the second part was that I know they did a very good job of kind of like playing off the fact that Harrison Ford's in his 60s and whatnot, and he made some jokes about it. But, you know, it really wasn't the Indy that we remembered, and he just wasn't that vital. So I think it was good, and I think if you're a real fan, you definitely want to see it and put it in your collection and whatnot if you're a hardcore Indiana Jones fan. But I do have to say I was a little bit disappointed in those aspects. I think with their money and Spielberg's talent and things that have been done since then, it could have cinematically been a lot more of a special effects extravaganza.
Well, Jazz, you certainly have made a good point there about the look of the film, but I think that that's what the filmmakers were trying to do, trying to make it look like the first three films and not be so much like the modern, you know, with modern special effects. So it didn't work for some people, but I'm certainly glad that they did that. Now, I interrupted you and you were going to say something else, so pardon me.
Oh, no, that's fine. And I'm not saying it was bad. And as I said, if you're a fan of the genre, you know, and you love the trilogy, then I think it was great, and there's good things to say about it. But I was just kind of your show and the discussion you were having with your guest just kind of put me in mind of thinking, you know, I think we've gotten a little jaded, because the last movie I went to the theater and saw before this was Iron Man, and
yeah.
I mean talk about an extravaganza of special effects and what we're capable
exactly.
of today. And walking out of that and then walking into Indiana Jones and, you know, Crystal Skull, it was kind of like, wow, it sort of feels like I'm watching something where they didn't, you know, buy any new hardware, you know, since 20 years ago.
AJ, I think you agree with Jazz on that, right?
Well, I do have to agree that the effects did kind of look a little bit on the off side. You know, they tried to save as much, not to spoil anything, but they did save most of the CG and effects and stuff till then. They tried to keep it practical for most of the time. But I do agree with you, Betty Jo, and how, like, that kind of backlot style is what the filmmakers were aiming for, because Indiana Jones is a league of action cinema all its own. It's in that whole Saturday morning 1940s serial sort of fashion. You know, it
yes,
isn't.
Yes, and I remember those well, so that's why it appeals to me, I think.
Yeah, it isn't like today's action movies, like the Fast and the Furious movies. It's not in that league where it has to look a certain look. It has to change with the times. It has a style all its own, and it tried to adapt to it.
Well, you know, I just think that there's a lot to discuss about this film because of the different opinions on it. And I did have one complaint. I had trouble with the Ray Winstone character.
Yes.
I had trouble understanding his motivations and his relationship with Indiana Jones. And I think that could have been made more clear. Don't both of you agree on that point? AJ, what do you think about that?
I have to agree with not only that, but sort of the character, sort of like all the new characters that they introduced to try and replace the old ones, especially since, mostly since Sean Connery didn't come back and Denholm Elliott from the other one died. So they had to introduce these new characters to sort of as like place cards to fill the void. And they just kind of, I think the filmmakers too much expected us to just kind of go along with them from the start and be involved with them, even though we've known them for about 2 seconds. And the love for the characters is just not there as much as it was with Marcus or Indiana's dad.
Does anybody else really miss Short Round? I found myself really missing Short Round.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
This could have used some Short Round, definitely.
Well, which of the Indiana Jones films is your favorite, Jazz?
Oh, boy, that's tough. I got to go with the second one. Really,
the Temple of
one,
Doom.
Really,
Temple of Doom. I know that's an unpopular opinion with a lot of people, but I thought Temple of Doom was one of the few cases in the history of sequels and triquels and et cetera, threequels and et cetera, where I thought it actually outperformed the first one when the first one was so amazingly good.
That's an interesting choice. What about you, AJ?
I gotta go with the first one. The best, and it just set the formula, and it just set everything just right. But I have to say that Last Crusade is a very, very, very close second.
I'm with you on that. Although I fell in love with Indy in the first film and thought it was one of the most entertaining action pictures ever made, I enjoyed The Last Crusade almost as much, probably because of that wonderful chemistry Harrison Ford and Sean Connery had on screen.
Absolutely.
As father and son.
I did love the return of the original love interest, though. I thought that was such a nice touch.
I thought that was good. We do have another call, and I think it's Luke. Let's try and get him on now. Hello, Luke. Thank you for holding. You've reached Movie Attic headquarters with the Mad Movie Man and Jazz Shaw and Betty Jo Tucker. How are you? Hello, Luke? Well, I think we have a little technical difficulty here, so perhaps Luke will call back. So let's turn our attention to this question. Why do you think Harrison Ford's portrayal of Indiana Jones is so well loved? Do you want to take that one, AJ?
I just think that the appeal is that he's not a completely hardened action hero. He's got a bit of a smarminess to him. And I think that's what has helped him endure, along with other action heroes like John McClane from the Die Hard movies and James Bond, probably the king of the action heroes, I would arguably say at this point, where he's not completely serious about his job. He's got a bit of an edge to him. He's got his flaws, and he just kind of laughs a little bit, but then he takes his job. He just goes along what he does, and I think that's what helps him endure. He's got a little bit of a humorous side to him, but he knows how to get out of a scrape. He's got that mixture of intelligence, just pure physical brawn, and he's a little bit of a smart aleck.
Perfect.
Well,
perfect.
Well said. How about you, Jazz?
Absolutely perfect analogy. I was thinking the same thing. He is very reminiscent of John McClane, and when I say he, I don't mean Harrison Ford. I mean the character Indiana Jones, somebody that doesn't take themselves too seriously, who accomplishes amazing things, but does it in an everyman, everyday kind of fashion with the same foibles, the same weaknesses in certain areas, the same flaws, still comes through at the end and can be funny in seemingly, although obviously very intentional, ways at the same time with that kind of double entendre humor that's good for kids, but there's also, you know, humor built into it that the adults will snicker at a bit too. And I think he bears a great resemblance to John McClane in that fashion.
That's an excellent point, and I do agree about Indy being oh so human and succeeding without the help of any superpowers. I love the way he makes mistakes and then uses his wits to solve problems, even while he's just kind of making things up as he goes along. And I also think that those imperfect personal relationships that he has intrigue us. We can't help wondering why his interactions with women are always so fiery, and why.
Exactly. Also, just like John McClane, once again, has terrible relationships with women, seems to have the best of intentions, but keeps messing it up, just like so many regular people do. And
I think he's an endearing character. And then he suffers so much from his father's lack of respect for his accomplishments, and we can kind of all identify with that. And I like the way the Crystal Skull gives Indy a new interpersonal challenge when that character played by Shia LaBeouf comes on screen, Mutt Williams. And here's a rebellious teenager looking like a fugitive from Greece or the wild one calling Indy Gramps and old man. And I thought these two actors really played off each other so well, and I had a very good time watching them in their scenes together. What did you think about Shia LaBeouf in this movie, AJ?
You know, I was afraid that he was going to turn into a bit of an irritating sidekick, but, you know, just as he surprised me in Transformers, he surprised me here with a pretty charismatic performance. It wasn't too cliched or grating of a role, and they kind of played off each other really well. Although, and I'm not going to spoil anything, but there's a certain moment at the ending where it looks like there's going to be a setup for a potential movie with his character that just kind of made me shake my head. And I went to the movie with my dad, and out loud he said, "No."
I was kind of with him.
I
think a lot of people had that same reaction. It was a surprise to me what they did in that particular sequence. But do either one of you think any additional Indiana Jones films should be made? What about you, AJ?
I'd say yeah. You know, Harrison Ford definitely proved that he still has the physicality to take on the role. But if they are going to make any more movies, they definitely have to put a lot more care into the script than they did for this one, for me at least.
What about you, Jazz?
I'm a bit more hesitant. I'll go back to the previous point just briefly. I was frightened about Shiloh because I really was afraid that this character was going to be like the Jar Jar Binks of Star Wars that would just really annoy everyone. But I think the character did carry off a lot better than that and surpassed my expectations. Do we need another film? They'll probably get my money if they do, but I'm not entirely sure that I would cry if they didn't.
Well, I have mixed feelings about this question. As much as I enjoyed The Crystal Skull, I'm kind of leaning toward thinking maybe it should be the last one. I guess I have a sort of a quit while you're ahead feeling about this franchise. I don't want it to go downhill.
And we've seen some other continuations recently, if I may, that just give me pause. I mean, the whole, I'm just dreading the Rocky thing, which I've not seen even a preview of yet. But that was terrible. We've seen a couple others recently that I think they've just stretched some of these franchises too far, with the leads coming back somewhat past their best sell-by date. And, you know, it kind of sometimes I think it could diminish our memories of how good the original stuff was.
Yes, I think you're right about that. So that's my worry about the same thing happening to Indy, no matter how much I enjoyed this.
And I apologize. I said Rocky. I actually meant to say Rambo. I apologize.
Well, we had a Rocky one also.
Yeah, and that didn't work out very well for me.
And that
I'm
didn't
not
work out very well either.
Rambo working out very well either.
I know.
Well, I love Rocky Balboa. That was awesome. It was a return to form for the character, for me.
Well, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, but I just felt, oh dear, I hate to see him looking like that. And
I'm with Betty Jo on that one. I felt like, well, it could have been worse, I guess.
That's right.
Although I gotta say though, that speech he gives to his son about taking the hits and getting back up, that just gets me every single time.
Well, that was inspirational. We have another call, and I'm going to try again on this. Hello, area code 609. Thank you so much for holding. You're on the air with AJ, the Mad Movie Man, Jazz Shaw, and Betty Jo Tucker. Thank you for holding. How are you today?
Hi, Betty Jo. This is Fausta.
Fausta. I'm so glad to hear from you. Did you get
you.
A chance? Did you get a chance to see the Crystal Skull?
Yeah, I loved it.
All right, for Fausta, we're still soul sisters.
But I do not want any more Indiana Jones.
Okay, why is
you
that?
You know, he's already eligible for Medicare.
There was a cartoon that said the next Indiana Jones would be Indiana Jones searching for his reading glasses.
That's the next artifact, yes.
That's the next looking for. What did you like about this fourth film, Fausta?
Well, I liked all the chase scenes and all of this stuff that has to do, you know, with like the carpenter ants and, you know, the dueling and the fights, the sword fight on the car. I just love that kind of stuff, you know?
Oh, it was so exciting, wasn't it?
Yes.
And how do you think it compared with the other Indiana Jones films?
I think it was better than the second one.
Oh, you'll get an argument, won't you, from Jazz on that?
Oh yeah.
No, I don't argue. I mean, movies are totally subjective. You know, I mean, I have discussions with people all the time about other series. The Die Hard series, people have their own favorites. You know, but I happen to like the second one best. But it takes nothing away from one and three. I thought they were all excellent.
Well, I like three because they had Sean Connery.
Yes, that's the same. That's the same way I feel about that particular movie. I always enjoy anything that Sean Connery is in. Well,
oh,
are
yeah.
Are you all ready to change the subject a little bit and talk about other film action heroes?
Sure.
Awesome.
Great.
Sure.
Well, AJ, who are your top action heroes in the films? Now, we're not going to talk about superheroes because we'll save that for another show. So the action heroes who don't have any superpowers, who are your top five?
Well, since you put the no superheroes rule, that took out a lot of what I was going to put on there.
Oh, sorry about that.
You made my job pretty tough. God, curse you. But I managed to pull up a list. It's not necessarily, these aren't in any particular order. I don't have like a 1, 2, 3, but I managed to come up with five. Of course, I have Indiana Jones on there, of course.
Yes.
And I have a James Bond.
Oh, hooray.
And for no specific character, but rather his whole body of work, Jackie Chan. Because he's just a one-man army, no matter what movie he's in.
You're right.
And since I'm the mad movie man, I got to put in a couple of more bizarre suggestions in here. I got to put Ash from the Evil Dead movies, played by Bruce Campbell.
Oh, of course.
Just like a hype, more like a hyper Indiana Jones, just completely smarmy, just very cavalier with the ladies, and has no qualms about replacing his hand with a chainsaw.
Right.
And
a mad movie man.
And sort of an obscure choice from Japanese cinema, I have to have a Zatoichi. He's a character played by Shintaro Katsu in 26 movies. Where it's a blind traveling masseur who's basically the world's greatest swordsman.
The blind swordsman, yes.
Yep, he uses all of his senses to just have this superb swordsmanship, and he just puts it on display in every movie. Like when he slices a candle in half, and it's still lit on both ends. Just stuff like that. It's just amazing to watch in every movie.
That is a terrific list. Well, mine seems so tame when I was thinking about it. And, of course, I have Harrison Ford as Indy as number one. And second would be Antonio Banderas as Zorro.
Ooh.
And third would be Jackie Chan as Chan Wang in the Shanghai Noon films. I just thought he was great. Fourth, Will Smith as Captain Hiller in Independence Day. And fifth, Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia in Star Wars. So that's a pretty tame list compared to yours. What about you, Jazz? Do you have any other? Well, you mentioned Bruce Willis. And,
well, yeah, he came in number two on my list. Number one on my list is actually Sam Spade.
Oh, and which actor?
Oh, Bogey, come on. There's nobody but Bogey.
Of course.
And definitely Bruce Willis at number two. Harrison Ford makes my list at the bottom on number five. And I know you get tired of hearing me talk about it, but I really thought it's kind of an anti-hero, but I can never, when somebody mentions heroes or superpowers or anything like that, you know, but with leaving out the Marvel comics, I kind of had to go with Frankenfurter from Rocky Horror.
You always have to.
Yeah.
You got to have.
Almost took over the world, missed it by that much.
He did. How about you, Fausta? Do you have any favorite action movies? Action heroes in movies?
You have to have Indiana Jones and James Bond and John McClane of the Die Hards.
Yes.
But I would also add Chow Yun-Fat in the Flying Dragon, you know,
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yes, Crouching Tiger, and in the Monk movie.
Bulletproof Monk.
Yes, and also I would put Errol Flynn as Captain Blood and Robin Hood.
Yes. Oh, that's an excellent choice.
Interesting choice. Interesting.
Those, right. And, you know, there was a recent article in the Rocky Mountain News about action heroes. And here are some interesting ones. I think we've mentioned a lot of the actors that were on the list in that particular article. But some that you haven't mentioned are Bruce Lee, Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Terminator, Mel Gibson in Mad Max, Angelina Jolie as Lara Croft, Clint Eastwood as Dirty Harry, Keanu Reeves as Neo,
I love Keanu.
Yeah, me too. Linda Hamilton as Sarah Connor.
I forget Mad Max? I am so embarrassed.
I am too. I'm embarrassed for all of us. Wesley Snipes as Blade. And here's another one, hero from Crouching Tiger, Michelle Yeoh in that one. Matt Damon as Jason Bourne. Uma Thurman as the Bride in the Kill Bill movies. William Shatner as Captain Kirk. So we have a lot of very interesting action heroes on film.
I just have to throw in one more that will probably make number six on my list. Marv, played by Mickey Rourke in Sin City.
Oh, absolutely! That's an unusual one. I think we have one more caller. Let's try and get this caller connected. Thank you for holding, caller 630. You've reached Movie Attic headquarters. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I wanted to say Terminator and Predator and Rambo for Wild Wagon because he kept saying that that was his favorite, and you guys already said them. And I just wanted to say that everyone needs to check out my show.
Oh, yes.
So,
who is this calling?
This is Rocco 30, so, yeah.
Rocco 30, well, thank you so much for calling. And when is your show on, Rocco?
I just had one at 1:30 today, so go check it out in the played ones. And my next one is at noon tomorrow.
Well, thank you. I'll encourage our listeners to listen to your show, and good luck with your show. And thank you so much for calling in, Rocco.
All right. Thank you.
You know, I think Alien versus Predator kind of ruined me on the whole Schwarzenegger thing. Just a random observation. I thought it was so good originally,
yeah.
But they just beat it to death later on, and it just made me, you know, it kind of put a little tarnish on on the whole concept.
Well, it wasn't one of my favorites either, but why don't we look to the future now a little bit? Are there any young actors that you all think have the potential to become successful movie action heroes? AJ, you want to start us on that?
Well, I got to say that in the world, I think that the latest action wave is going to come from the world of martial arts, and there's two Thai actors that I've seen in movies that have sort of gotten noticeable, but not too much by the mainstream. One is Tony Jaa, who is in Ong Bak, the Thai Warrior, and The Protector. And another actor, Dan Chupong, who was in Born to Fight and Dynamite Warrior. And these movies have just some of the most incredible stunt work I have ever seen in a movie. And that's not hyperbole speaking. It is really that amazing. And once they find, like, that vehicle that'll get them into the mainstream, get them noticed by the mainstream, I think they're just going to take off like a rocket.
Well, you have kind of the edge over the rest of us because you do have a website devoted strictly to foreign language films, so you get to see a lot of these films that we don't. So thank you for giving us that information. You know, I liked the way Michael Angarano looked in The Forbidden Kingdom. And I still have hopes for Stephen Strait from 10,000 BC. I know you don't, but both of these guys, they were just splendid in Sky High, that Disney film.
I'm crossing my fingers for Robert Downey Jr. I know he has had an up-and-down, spotty career with some really bad showings and some moments of brilliance, but I think we weren't doing Marvel stuff, but his appearance as Peter Stark in Iron Man, I think
Tony
gave
Stark.
Him the kind. I'm sorry, Mr. Stark. Anyway, gave him that kind of personality we were discussing earlier with Indy and with the Die Hard films. You know, that kind of sometimes funny, sometimes heroic kind of thing. And man, he just pulled that off so well. I could see him going somewhere with that.
Well, he's. I'm not considering him in the younger actors, but he certainly hasn't done action movies that much, so maybe what we're talking about actors that have potential to be action heroes. I would agree with you that he does. I also like Rosario Dawson. Have any of you seen her, like in Sin City and
yes.
Grindhouse? I think she's just terrific in action scenes. Then there are two of the characters in the TV series Lost that I think have lots of potential if somebody would just take them and put them in some action films. Josh Holloway, who plays Sawyer, and Evangeline Lilly, who plays Kate on that series. And they both just look great running through the jungle on that island and in the fights that they get into and the expressions on their faces. I think they
would
be.
Who's the actor who plays Saeed on Lost? I thought he could have tremendous potential.
Yes, who is that, AJ, the actor that plays Saeed? He's very
I've
good.
Never seen a single episode of Lost. I'm sorry.
Well,
heretic.
I'll have to look up that actor. He has one of the most listenable voices that I've ever heard. So
wait, is that the same guy who was in Grindhouse?
Saeed, I don't think he was in Grindhouse.
I don't think so.
But
is it Naveen Andrews?
He's from yes, it is Naveen Andrews.
It is.
Exactly.
Yep, he was in Grindhouse. He was in the Planet Terror part of it.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember him, but he's really a terrific actor. What about
what
about you, Fausta? Is there someone that you think's on the forefront of being a new movie action hero?
Well, I mean, he already is. I mean, you put Hugh Jackman in anything, and I'll go watch it.
Oh, be still my heart.
Let me tell you. Ooh, Hugh Jackman. And he sings well, too.
He does see. I just hope that we get to see him in some musicals. Did any of you see the preview for the new movie that Hugh Jackman is in with Nicole Kidman that's coming out in November called Australia?
Ooh,
I did see that. And,
it looks
you know, just because it's Baz Luhrmann, I'm there already. Just because of my love for Moulin Rouge, I am there.
Yes, but what a change from a musical like Moulin Rouge to a big sweeping Western, a Western epic like Australia. Shows how versatile Baz Luhrmann is. He's just one of my very favorite directors. Well, what's your favorite action movie of all time, AJ?
You know, we've talked about it before, Raiders of the Lost Ark. But I got to say a close second would have to be Speed.
And Speed, okay. What about you, Jazz?
Tough. I got to go with the third Die Hard.
With the
Ooh,
third
good
Die
choice.
Hard.
Mm-hmm.
And how about you, Fausta?
The first Indiana Jones, the first X-Men, there are just so many. I mean, I love this genre. If some women go to chick flicks, I go to action films.
I feel the same way. I like the action films.
I wonder if I always love Fausta.
Yes, a lot more than we love the chick flicks. I did like Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. I think that would have to be number one. But there's a movie that I may put right up there with it. and it's called Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
Oh, fabulous film. Fabulous movie.
And there was something exciting happening from beginning to end in that movie. Plus, it had Antonio Banderas.
Oh, yes. That was, what is it, whatever his name is, like Rodriguez Ramirez. I forget what.
Exactly. Robert Rodriguez, I think.
Yes.
Was the and it had Johnny Depp also as the as the villain. Oh, he was just absolutely terrific in that. Everybody was terrific in that.
Why does Johnny Depp remain so underrated compared to other people in that caliber? Because everything he does seems to be different and shocking every time. And going all the way back to Edward Scissorhands, I mean, it's just this guy takes the weirdest roles and masters them.
I know. I will never underrate Johnny Depp because he's right up there with Antonio for me, and I love all his movies. But I think the reason he is underrated is because he really hasn't appeared in very many mainstream movies. He has looked for those offbeat characters to play. Don't you think that that's true, AJ?
Yep, that's definitely part of his cult appeal, and he sort of took that into the mainstream with Jack Sparrow in Pirates of the Caribbean. I think a lot more people are going to start turning on to and going back and to watch Johnny Depp's sort of weirder past performances.
See, we don't actually qualify the Jack Sparrow films as action films, though, right? Because otherwise, I mean, I would have put those on my list. Because that's one of the great characters of all time is Jack Sparrow.
Absolutely.
Do you guys see the documentary with the Rolling Stones?
No, but I want to.
Keith Richards channels Jack Sparrow.
Oh, we can hardly wait to see that one. That will be excellent. But isn't it awful that we've had a whole year, except if you count Sweeney Todd, which actually was released before the end of the year, but a whole year without Johnny Depp, a Johnny Depp movie. I was checking on the Internet Movie Database, and we will not see Johnny Depp until next year in, I think it's Public Enemy, where he plays the lead role in that. So that's kind of unusual to go by a whole year without a Johnny Depp movie. Thank heavens for DVDs.
Wow. Don't discount Sweeney Todd right away. That was an awesome, that was an incredible film.
Well, yes, but I consider it a 2007 release. So
yeah,
Johnny Depp is the new John Malkovich for me, somebody who I thought was underrated in his time and just played the greatest stretch of the most bizarre characters. And if you line up, you know, either of them, you've got me in the theater.
We ought to see them in a movie. I'm so surprised always when we run out of time, which has just happened. AJ, thanks so much for being such a wonderful guest again. Please come back soon. And thank you, Jazz and Fausta, for calling in. It's always so great to hear from you.
Thank you.
This is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout-out to all the folks at Blog Talk Radio for their support and connection with this show. Special thanks, as always, to Nikki Starr for everything she does for Movie Attic Headquarters, and I hope she'll be back next week, and to A.J. Hockery for sharing his offbeat opinions with us today. Thanks to everyone who listened live or to the archives or participated in the chat. We really appreciate it. And remember, dear listeners, protect yourself against identity theft so that your life will not become like a horror movie. Go to lifelock.com and learn about the important services offered there. That's LIFELOCK. You'll receive a 10% discount when using our code, which is REALTALK. That's REELTALK, and it's all one word. Please come back next week for another lively discussion about movies. In the meantime, check out our insightful and entertaining film reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's REEL, realtalkreviews.com. Now, as usual, here's the very talented AJ Daniels to close the show with a song that we dedicate to all our loyal Blog Talk Radio listeners.
love you, then you'd be forced to love me too. If you knew how much I adore you, you'd stay with me and be true.